Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. Today, we're diving headfirst into the world of cybersecurity, specifically a recent surge in spear phishing attacks that have a lot of folks in the cybersecurity world on high alert.
Yeah, definitely on high alert.
So spear phishing, for those who may not be familiar, can you quickly break down what it is and why it's so effective?
Sure. Spear phishing, it's like regular phishing, but way more targeted and a lot more sophisticated. You know those scam emails we all get? The ones promising riches or warning about account issues?
Oh yeah, I get those all the time.
Right. Well, spear phishing is like that, but laser focused. Instead of blasting out a generic message to thousands of people, these attackers zero in on specific individuals.
Okay, so it's personalized. How do they personalize it? What kind of information do they use?
Oh, all sorts of things. They could be using details from your social media profiles, your job title, your company's website, anything they can find online to make the email seem like it's genuinely meant for you. They're masters of social engineering, these guys.
So it's all about making the email seem as legitimate as possible.
Exactly. They want to build trust before they go in for the kill. And the thing is, they're getting really, really good at it.
And in this case, these spear phishing attacks are being linked to a group with ties to Russia, right?
Yeah, a group called Midnight Blizzard.
Midnight Blizzard. Okay, that sounds ominous. What do we know about them?
Well, they've been on the radar of intelligence agencies for a while now. They're known for their sophisticated tactics and their focus on high-value targets.
High-value targets. What kind of targets are we talking about here?
Government agencies, defense contractors, critical infrastructure providers.
Yeah.
Think of any organization that holds sensitive data that plays a crucial role in national security or economic stability. That's who Midnight Blizzard is after.
And to make things even more interesting, or I guess concerning, they're using some pretty clever hooks in these spear phishing emails, right?
Oh, absolutely. Things like Microsoft, Amazon Web Services, even zero trust security architectures.
Whoa, 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 hold on. Zero trust. Isn't that supposed to be like the gold standard in cybersecurity these days?
It is. And that's exactly why they're using it as a lure. They know that organizations are scrambling to implement zero trust, and they're exploiting that sense of urgency. Think about it. You're an IT administrator. You're already stressed about meeting deadlines and keeping your system secure. Then you get an email that looks like it's from Microsoft warning you about a potential vulnerability related to your zero trust implementation.
Oh, man, I can see how someone would fall for that.
Exactly. You're more likely to click on that link to download that attachment without thinking twice, and bam, you've just opened the door for Midnight Blizzard to walk right in.
So they're basically weaponizing our own anxieties about cybersecurity.
Pretty much. They're masters of manipulation.
So this isn't just some random phishing scam. We're talking about a highly organized, highly targeted campaign with potential implications for, well, pretty much everyone.
That's the scary part. This isn't just about stolen data or financial losses anymore. We're talking about potential disruption of critical infrastructure, espionage, even sabotage.
And we're not just speculating here, right? I mean, these aren't just rumors. This activity from Midnight Blizzard has actually been confirmed by some pretty big names.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Microsoft, Amazon, even Ukrainian cybersecurity officials have all come out and said, yep, this is happening. This is a real threat.
Okay, so we've established that this is a serious situation. Let's dive into the technical details for a bit. We keep hearing about this thing called Remote Desktop Protocol, or RDP. What is that exactly, and how does it factor into all of this?
RDP is basically a way to access another computer remotely.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate tool used by IT professionals all the time, you know, for troubleshooting, providing support. But if it's not properly secured, it can also be a backdoor for hackers.
A backdoor, huh? That doesn't sound good.
No, it's not. Midnight Blizzard is very good at exploiting weaknesses in RDP configurations. They'll scan the internet for systems with open RDP ports, and then they'll use a variety of techniques to try to brute force their way in.
Brute force. So they're just trying a bunch of different passwords until they find one that works?
Yeah, sometimes. But they also use more sophisticated methods like stealing credentials, exploiting vulnerabilities, or even tricking users into giving them access.
So once they're in, they have access to everything on that computer?
Not necessarily everything, but enough to do some serious damage. One of the first things they do is start mapping the target device.
Mapping the device. What do you mean by that?
It's like taking an inventory. They want to see what kind of data is stored on the computer, what kind of software is installed, what other devices are connected to the network.
So they're gathering intel, figuring out what they can steal, what they can exploit.
Exactly. And they're also looking for ways to install things like remote access Trojans or RTs. Yeah, think of it like a digital spy. It's a piece of malware that allows them to maintain persistent access to the compromised computer even after the initial RDP connection is closed.
So even if you change your password, they can still get back in.
Possibly, yeah. It's a very sneaky and effective way to maintain control.
Okay, so they're in, they've mapped the device, they've installed their little spies. What happens next? What are their ultimate goals?
Well, it depends on the target. Sometimes it's about stealing data. They might be after financial information, intellectual property, personal data that they can sell on the dark web.
Right.
Other times, it's about disruption. They might want to cripple an organization's operations, cause chaos, or sow discord. And in some cases, it might be about espionage. They might be looking for information that can give them a strategic advantage or undermine national security.
So this goes way beyond just stealing credit card numbers. We're talking about something much bigger, much more sinister.
Absolutely. And that's why these spear phishing attacks are so concerning. They're a gateway to a whole range of malicious activities.
And it's not just individuals or small businesses that are at risk, right? We're talking about government agencies, critical infrastructure providers, organizations that impact all of us.
Exactly. This is a threat that has the potential to affect everyone.
Okay, so what can we do about it? How do we protect ourselves from these increasingly sophisticated attacks?
Well, that's a question we're going to delve into in much more detail as we continue our deep dive. But for now, I think the most important thing is awareness. We need to understand the threat, we need to be vigilant, and we need to start taking cybersecurity seriously.
Awareness, vigilance, got it. But what does that look like in practice? What are some concrete steps that individuals and organizations can take to protect themselves?
That's a great question. And one that that's a great question and one that we could probably spend an entire deep dive discussing. But let's start with the basics.
Okay, basics. Sounds good.
The first thing, really the most important thing, is to be aware of the threat. We tend to think, oh, it's not going to happen to me, or I'm too smart to fall for that.
Yeah, we all think we're too smart.
Right. But these attackers, they prey on human nature. They know how to exploit our weaknesses, our curiosity, our desire to be helpful.
So it's not just about having strong passwords or the latest security software. It's about being aware of the psychological tactics these attackers use.
Exactly. They're masters of social engineering. They'll study their targets, figure out their interests, their fears, their vulnerabilities, and then they'll craft these incredibly convincing emails that are almost impossible to resist.
So how do they do that? What are some examples of these social engineering tactics?
Well, one common tactic is to create a sense of urgency or fear. They might send you an email that looks like it's from your bank or a government agency warning you about a security breach or a problem with your account.
Yeah, I've gotten those before. They always make my heart skip a beat.
Right. And they know that. They know that if they can get you to panic, you're less likely to think critically and more likely to click on that link or open that attachment without thinking twice.
So it's all about getting you to act impulsively.
Exactly. Another tactic they use is to impersonate someone you trust. It could be your boss, a colleague, even a friend or family member.
Oh, wow. So it's like they're hijacking your existing relationships to gain your trust.
Exactly. And it can be incredibly effective because we're naturally inclined to trust people we know.
So how do you spot these fake emails? Are there any telltale signs?
There are some things you can look for. Pay attention to the sender's email address. Is it really from the organization it claims to be from? Look for misspellings, grammatical errors, awkward phrasing. These are often signs that the email is not legitimate.
Yeah, that makes sense. But what about the content of the email? Are there any red flags there?
Absolutely. If the email is asking you to do something that seems out of the ordinary, like clicking on a link to update your password or download a file you weren't expecting, that's a big red flag.
So trust your gut. If it feels fishy, it probably is.
Exactly. It's better to err on the side of caution. If you're not sure about an email, don't click on anything. Don't open any attachments. Instead, contact the organization directly using a phone number or email address you know is legitimate.
Good advice. Verify, verify, verify. Okay, so we've talked about the psychological tactics these attackers use. Let's get a little bit more technical for a second. You mentioned earlier that once they gain access to a device, they start mapping it. Can you explain a little bit more about how that works and what they're looking for?
Sure. Mapping a device is basically like creating a blueprint of its digital landscape. They're looking for anything that could be valuable to them. Sensitive data, system configurations, network connections, user credentials, anything they can use to further their objectives.
And how do they actually do this mapping? What tools or techniques do they use?
Well, they have a whole arsenal of tools at their disposal. They might use network scanning tools to identify all the devices connected to the network. They might use vulnerability scanners to find weaknesses they can exploit. And they might use keyloggers and other spyware to capture sensitive information, like passwords and credit card numbers.
It's scary to think about all that happening in the background without you even knowing.
It is. And the thing is, they're getting more sophisticated all the time. They're using advanced techniques like steganography, which is basically hiding data within other data to make their malware even harder to detect.
Steganography, that sounds like something out of a spy movie.
Yeah, it kind of is. But this is the reality of cybersecurity today. We're in an arms race with these attackers. As our defenses get stronger, they find new ways to get around them.
So it's like a constant game of cat and mouse.
Exactly. And to make matters worse, these attacks are often part of a larger campaign. It's not just about one compromised device or one stolen piece of data. It's about gaining a foothold within an organization, establishing persistence, and then moving laterally to other systems and networks.
So one successful spear phishing attack could lead to a much larger breach.
Absolutely. That's why it's so important to have layered defenses. You can't just rely on one security measure to protect you. You need a combination of technical controls, like firewalls and intrusion detection systems, as well as human awareness and training.
So it's a multifaceted problem that requires a multifaceted solution.
That's a great way to put it. And it's a problem that's not going away anytime soon.
Well, that's a sobering thought, but I'm glad we're having this conversation. Knowledge is power, right? The more we understand about these threats, the better equipped we are to defend ourselves.
Exactly. And there's still so much more to discuss. For example, we haven't even touched on the potential role of artificial intelligence in cybersecurity.
Oh, yeah, AI. Everyone's talking about AI these days. How can it be used to combat these kinds of attacks?
That's a fascinating area, and one that's rapidly evolving.
Yeah.
AI can be used to analyze vast amounts of data, identify patterns, and detect anomalies that might indicate malicious activity.
So it's like having a digital detective on the case.
In a way, yes. AI can help us sift through the noise and focus on the real threats. It can also be used to automate certain security tasks, like threat detection and incident response, freeing up human analysts to focus on more complex issues.
So AI could be a powerful tool in our arsenal.
It has the potential to be a game changer. But like any tool, it's important to use it wisely and ethically. We need to make sure that AI is used to augment human intelligence, not replace it.
Makes sense. AI is a partner, not a replacement. Okay, so we've talked about the psychology of spear phishing, the technical tactics, and the potential role of AI. Where do we go from here? What's the next step in this deep dive?
Well, I think it's time to talk about solutions. You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about the problem, the threats, the vulnerabilities. But the good news is that there are things we can do to protect ourselves.
Okay, good. Give us some hope here. What are some of the things we can do?
Well, a lot of it comes down to awareness and education. As we have been talking about, these attacks are often successful because they exploit human psychology, our tendency to trust, our fear of missing out, our desire to be helpful.
Right, the social engineering aspect.
Exactly. So the first line of defense is really ourselves. We need to be aware of the tactics these attackers use. We need to be skeptical of unsolicited emails and messages. And we need to think twice before clicking on links or opening attachments.
So it's about being more mindful of our digital interactions.
Precisely. But awareness alone isn't enough. We also need to have strong technical defenses in place.
Okay, what kind of technical defenses are we talking about?
Things like strong passwords, multi-factor authentication, firewalls, intrusion detection systems, and the latest security software.
So it's about having a layered approach to security.
Exactly. You can't just rely on one security measure to protect you. You need multiple layers of defense to make it as difficult as possible for attackers to penetrate your systems.
And this applies to both individuals and organizations, Rick.
Absolutely. Everyone needs to take cybersecurity seriously, no matter how small or large they are.
Okay, so awareness, education, strong technical defenses. What else can we do? What about AI? We were talking about AI earlier. Can it play a role in protecting us from these kinds of attacks?
Oh, definitely. AI and machine learning are becoming increasingly powerful tools in cybersecurity. They can be used to analyze massive amounts of data, identify patterns, and detect anomalies that might indicate malicious activity.
So it's like having a digital detective on the case, constantly looking for clues.
Exactly. AI can also help us automate certain security tasks, like threat detection and incident response, which frees up human analysts to focus on more complex issues.
So AI can be a powerful ally in the fight against cybercrime, but it's not a silver bullet, right?
No, it's not a silver bullet. It's just one tool in our arsenal. And like any tool, it has its limitations.
Okay, so what are some of those limitations?
Well, one limitation is that AI systems are only as good as the data they're trained on. If they're trained on bad data, they'll make bad decisions.
So it's garbage in, garbage out.
Basically, yeah. Another limitation is that AI systems can be fooled by adversarial attacks.
Adversarial attacks? What are those?
They're basically attacks that are specifically designed to fool AI systems. For example, an attacker might slightly modify a piece of malware so that it's no longer recognizable to an AI-powered antivirus system.
So it's like a camouflage for malware.
Exactly. And it can be very effective.
So even with AI, we still need to be vigilant.
Absolutely. AI is a powerful tool, but it's not a substitute for human intelligence and expertise.
Okay, so we need a combination of awareness, education, strong technical defenses, and AI. Anything else?
One more thing, and this is really important. Collaboration. We need to share information and work together to combat these threats.
Collaboration. What do you mean by that?
Well, organizations need to share information about attacks they've experienced, the tactics they've seen, the vulnerabilities they've discovered.
So it's about breaking down the silos and creating a more collective defense?
Exactly. And it's not just about organizations sharing information with each other. We also need to collaborate with governments and law enforcement agencies.
Makes sense. Cybercrime is a global problem, so we need a global response.
Absolutely. And I think we're starting to see more of that collaboration happening. There are a lot of great initiatives out there that are bringing together cybersecurity professionals, government agencies, and law enforcement to share information and coordinate responses.
So there's hope.
Oh, absolutely. There's always hope. The threat is real and it's serious, but we're not powerless. By working together, by being proactive, and by constantly evolving our defenses, we can stay ahead of the curve and create a safer digital world for everyone.
Well, that's a great note to end on. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into the world of spear phishing and the evolving threat of cyber warfare.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope this episode has been informative and empowering. Remember, knowledge is power. Stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay safe.